gospel reading today from Matthew 26, verses 31 through 56. Listen for the word of the Lord. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "You will all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." Peter said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." So said all the disciples. And Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So you could not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come to the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs, the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. And suddenly one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword and drew it and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. And Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. The word of the Lord. There is a scandal in the gospel today. No, it's not the television show, and Kerry Washington will not be starring today. Nevertheless, the scandal is at the heart of the good news in this passage. Maybe the best way to get at it is to treat it like a mystery. Remember the board game Clue with Colonel Mustard, Mrs. White, Professor Peacock, Mr. Green, and Miss Scarlet? You had to figure out who done it. So who's the scandal in the story today? Begins with Jesus riding into Jerusalem, riding on the back of a donkey or colt or maybe both. Immediately the crowds appear. They're delighted when they think the Messiah has shown up. They're tired of the occupation of their country. They detest Imperial Rome. They hear a rumor, the Messiah is coming. They start the chant, Hosanna! Hosanna! It's the new David. He's come to lead an army to overthrow our oppressors. Then they get a good look at him, straddling that donkey. And they pull back on their cheers. Someone says, who is he? They hedge their bets. Messiah? Did we say Messiah? What we really meant was prophet. Yeah, that's it. He's a prophet. The crowds, speaking out of both sides of their mouths. Are they the scandal? Or is it the disciples as a whole? The disciples have left everything to follow him. They've stuck with him through thick and thin. They've experienced miracles alongside of Jesus. They have been given the power to cast out demons and to heal the sick. They're with him even now in Jerusalem. But Jesus tells them, I can see it in your eyes. I know what's coming. And when they arrest me, every one of you will scatter to the wind. The disciples end up proving Jesus right and proving how undisciplined disciples they truly are when the moment comes and they all flee for the hills. The cowardly disciples, are they the scandal of this story? Jesus goes off to pray. He takes three of the disciples in particular with him nearby, Peter, James, and John. And you remember how just a few weeks ago we heard the story of Jesus on the mountaintop? Jesus on the mountaintop where he is transfigured and his clothes become startlingly white and there's Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. As if to say, Jesus is the new Moses, the new Elijah. They saw that, the three of them, and he was transfigured before their eyes. And he had told them not to tell anyone else until it was the right time. Surely now is the right time for the three leaders to speak up, let it be known. Jesus takes the three of them to the garden to watch as he prays. And instead of watching, these three, well, they're asleep at the wheel. In fact, three times they fall asleep. Perhaps these three are the scandal of the story. Or maybe it's Peter. Good old Peter, Mr. Super Disciple. After all, his nickname is The Rock. He's so tough, so strong, a natural-born leader. When Jesus tells the disciples that they will all scatter, The Rock speaks up and says, "Not me, Jesus. You can count on me. I'll be right there at your side every step of the way. I'm not like the rest of them." And Jesus has to say, "Rock, you are going to crumble. You'll be the poster child of deserters. They deny me once, but you'll deny me three times before the dawn breaks." Peter, the rock. Is he the scandal? That leaves us Judas, Mr. Rationalization. Judas, who always has a perfectly good excuse for everything that he does. But the truth of the matter is, not only does he sell Jesus out to Jesus' enemies, Judas has to go out of his way to track them down and find them. And when he does find them and makes his offer, they only pay him a pittance to betray the Lord. Judas, who had seen every miracle. Judas, who had heard every word that Jesus had to give. Judas, who had been himself given the power to cast out demons and heal. Judas, who was so trusted they even put him in charge of the bank account. And Judas betrays his Lord. So who is the scandal of the story? According to the Bible, Jesus tells us plainly. And Jesus says the scandal of the story is Jesus himself. He says, you'll all become deserters. You'll all be scandalized because of me this very night. See, the biggest scandal of the Christian faith is Jesus himself. The Son of God, who submits to the violence of mere human beings and dies. The Messiah, the one who had come to save, to lead them into the kingdom of God. The Messiah who is arrested, tried, convicted, and executed as a common criminal. This is the abiding scandal of the gospel. Jesus had used that same word, scandalon, when he talked about the parable of the sower. You know, the sower out throwing seeds everywhere on the rocky ground, on the roadway, in the thistle bushes. Those who were supposed to take root were too shallow, and they shriveled up. The scandal of the sower who keeps on spreading the seed on the rocky ground, on the roadway, in the thistles. The things of God are a scandal. The things that are necessary to embody the love of God are a scandal. For all the crowd's mealy-mouthed confusion and the disciples falling away, the leaders falling asleep, Peter's protests and cowardice, and Judas' betrayal, Jesus is the one who stays the course. Jesus is the one who follows through. He does not want to suffer, does not want to die. He asks God to show him any other way, but there is no other way. That's a mystery, isn't it? The mystery that in the face of the worst evil that the world can produce, betrayal and cowardice, defection, denial, brutality, that Jesus could have said, forget it. It's not worth it. All these people are flawed. They don't stand for anything. Forget it. I'm just going to leave them all behind. He could have said that, but he did not. He asked God for another way, and when there was no other way, he went on to the cross. Because of the truth of the matter is, at that particular time, redemptive suffering was the only way to help a flawed humanity. In fact, sometimes for us too, we know the message of Jesus is the truth of the world. The only way the world is really going to change is if people suffer redemptively for love. So who are we in this drama? Sometimes I think it's good to just look at a Bible passage and ask, which character is most like me, most like us? Are we like the crowds or the disciples, the leaders sleeping in the garden? Are we like Judas, betraying Jesus? In the book of Romans, Paul sums it up this way. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not even the torture of the cross, not the betrayal, not the falling away. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Paul goes on to say, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Not after we'd become good enough, not after we'd repented, not after we'd shown how perfect that we are. It says, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's a scandalous idea. That redemptive love will not give up on us. Redemptive love that shows the world a different way. You know, the fact of the matter is our relationships would change if we were willing to suffer redemptively. The economy would change if we were willing to suffer redemptively. The way we wage war would change if we were willing to suffer redemptively. the world would change. But I'm not sure that we can hear that, even though Jesus is telling us. And that means for us too, Jesus is a scandal. May we open our lives, our minds, our hearts to the message of the cross of Jesus Christ, and may we stand with him as Lord. Amen.